Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Good morning, church. Great to have you in church today. It is, it's great to be home. Was away for just on a week. Real privilege and honour to be a part of a festival in the States called Creation Festival. And it was a privilege to be there to speak, to do some sessions with youth leaders, youth pastors, and some videoing stuff that they asked me to do. It was kind of hilarious. So I thought I'd let you have a laugh at my expense. So feel free to laugh at me, which you do anyway. But just a couple of videos just wanted to show of the kind of thing that they asked me to do. And literally you get about a 1 minute brief about this is what we want you to do. And I go, well, what does that mean? And they just go, look, minimise editing time. We want you to do this in one take. So just do it. You go, great, no worries. Well, there's just a couple of videos that I want to show that they showed at the festival to give people an idea of what happens in and around the festival. It has about 50-odd thousand people at this festival, the majority of which are either camping in trailers, those kind of campervan-y things they call RVs, or tents and different cabin type setups. So here's just a little bit of an example of a couple of things they asked me to do. So thanks, Brett.
Guys, come in here. You got to check this out. You won't believe what I found. I don't know whose RV this is, but come and check this out. This is seriously full on. This is not camping. This is glamping. Check it out. You've got a microwave. You've got a cooktop. You've got a fridge. Oh, man, fully loaded fridge. How cool is that with freezer as well? Over this side, this couch thing turns out and becomes a whole bed. And this thing, too, becomes a bed. There's lights. There's electric. There's air conditioning. This thing is seriously insane. But wait, there's more. Check this out. There's actually, in here, very own toilet, shower, the whole deal with exhaust fan. It is, seriously, this thing's insane. But wait, check this out. It's like a whole royal suite that you can... Oh, my gosh, what the heck is that? Seriously. Man, there's a... Look, TV. Man, what more could you want? Guys, this is seriously out of control. It is unreal. This is glamping at its best. Hey, creation, here we are at another stage. I can't believe this festival. There are so many stages. We have this one, the fringe stage. We have Camp Creation. We have Solid State. We have the Galleria family tent. And, of course, we all know main stage. But this one is the fringe stage. And, like, so much happens here with different artists and different things going on. Man, this place is just insane. There is so much activity and so many things happen here at Creation. It's almost overwhelming. We've got bouncies, rock climbing walls, skate park, food. We've got everything you could imagine. Just think about it in just a little bit. There's going to be just literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people out there just going crazy. Can you imagine what it's like if you got your own fans? Oh, yeah. All right, guys, got to check out the Fringe stage, Solid State, and all the other stages because there's so much to see and do here at this festival.
Yes, so they made a couple of those and they go, actually, we've got ideas, can you do a few more? So I ended up doing about six of those things. It's just absolutely hilarious. But so sort of main sessions went from 9 in the morning to about 12:30. So just emceeing, introducing band speakers, whatever. Afternoon doing video stuff for that, sponsors, Facebook live interviews with artists and bands, etc. Then at night, had to be back at main stage at 3 o'clock, and then that would finish at about 11:30 midnight. And you see, it's like, you know, and then they just throw these things at you just last minute. Can you just, oh, actually, that worked really well, Phil. Can you do that again? And it was just very, very long days, and it was a great time, and incredibly humbled that they have asked me to go back for the Northwest Festival, which is this coming week. So I leave Tuesday and then come back the following Tuesday. So it's sort of fly in, fly out, six days away. So, yeah, it's great. If you want to chat about it after service, we'd be more than happy to do that. But one of the things that happened while I was away is had a... I'm not prone to dreams or dreaming or particularly remembering my dreams. I'm not sure if anyone else is like that. So when I do remember, it's more likely it's spiritual in nature. So there was one particular dream I had that related to being in a boat in a spot where it was relatively calm, and then the seas began to increase in their ferocity and size to the point where because it's just the way I think and the way God knows I think. As surfers started to be brought out in boats and tow-ins on jet skis and stuff, and all of a sudden the waves kind of went from being here to, you know, bigger than this. And being a surfer, understanding the, you know, how intense that can be, just realise that, wow, you know, this boat we're in is in the wrong position, we're out of position, we're in a very precarious place, and the swell is getting massive. But there was just this overwhelming sense of peace that everything was just fine, even though there's all this chaos going around and different things. And kind of just felt very much that it related to the current journey that we're on as a church. If you're here visiting today, welcome to church. We're at a very exciting part and time in the life of our church. We, at the start of this year, just felt strongly for the first time in the 10 years of the life of our church to put out there that this year we would be believing for and come into our own space. And whatever that looked like, and we've not accumulated a big bank account. We've always felt that God put the mandate on us to give away and to be generous. If it doesn't meet the need, it's seed. So let's just sow it into a lot of things that have no direct benefit back to us. And so over the years, we've just done that, tried to be obedient, but having a deep conviction when the time comes, we would need a miracle. Anyone who understands real estate in Melbourne, particularly this area, you need a lot of money to secure or get anything. And so we looked at a property a couple of weeks ago, 2.5 or so weeks ago, and look, you know, just very, very exciting in terms of the possibilities, but with space in excess of, you know, 2,000 square metres, you're talking significant coin to even be considered in that. And just a quick update, we managed to, through a connection through one of our board members, which was incredibly gracious of her to set this up for us, we had a meeting with the owner, one of the owners, and were able to meet and present how much we can pay, and knowing how much they want, and the gap in between is called Jesus for us. And so just want to present to you today that the conversation was very positive. It was certainly not what we expected, and so we're very grateful for that. And we are looking at ongoing conversations with these guys around a particular property, and we are looking to follow a process. And there's due process as the boards of both Church and Compass Community Care working together in looking at how we can, but by the grace of God, secure a space of about 2,300 square metres. And so we just love for you to keep praying. There is no natural reason why this should happen. Let me make that abundantly clear. It's got nothing to do with like a massive deposit sitting over here that's just ready to go, because that doesn't exist. And it's got nothing to do with any other than natural reasons why you'd be able to secure something like this. And so very much in our midst, I believe a miracle is unfolding. And even though we've got no assurance of anything, there is a God confidence in our hearts that this is where God wants us to go and to be. And so if you hang around long enough, we stood and, you know, at the start of this year, stood and very much made it clear that we're putting this out there, and it makes no sense. And so I felt as though, you know what, it's time that kind of as a leader I put myself out there under the conviction of what God's speaking to my heart. It makes no sense. But isn't that faith sometimes? I just go, God calls us to speak things out. Nothing happens unless something's spoken. And so we've spoken it out, and I really believe we're in the process of seeing a miracle unfold. So stay tuned. Please pray. Please pray, because there's no natural reason why this should be get across the line, but who knows, that's exactly where God operates. And if you're not accustomed to miracles, if you're not accustomed to stepping out in faith, I pray, and I will be, I guarantee you, I will be challenging each of you, that when you see this happen, but by the grace of God, it's like, now, what are we going to do individually? And so in saying that, September 17, turn to the person next to you. And I love how there are people in our church that love it when I get you to talk to one another. But turn to the person next to you and say, September 17 is the Sunday for the first time ever in the life of our church, regardless of the outcome of negotiations that are taking place, regardless, we feel it's appropriate for the first time ever for us to have a miracle offering day. So we are not doing first fruits as we've done in the past. This will be a miracle offering day. So we've never had a specific offering for particularly focused on like our church and for a building or the fit out of. And so the space that we get will need to be fitted out. And so just believing that, you know, that you would have the next 2 and a bit months, just to be praying and seeking God to go, God, how can I sow into the future of Compass Church and our future home, not just for us, but for the generations to come. And as I've been saying, that you need to remember that let's not get all enamored with a building. It's bricks and mortar, and it's a tool that God wants us to have to facilitate the fulfillment of the vision that he has for us. For me, I see a building, and we will do it well, trust me on that, because we want to be able to hire it out, lease it out, and create revenue through the use of that facility, which is a smart thing to do. But it is like a laptop or a photocopier, as far as I'm concerned. I don't get enamored by lights or production and stuff as much as I think it's great. It's about people, and it's about people encountering the presence of Jesus Christ and that life-changing encounter with him. So the building that we will have will be great, but it's just another tool that God will bless us with to get what's really important done. Does that make sense? So please be praying, and we really need that. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14, a story that's also spoken about in a couple of the other Gospels, Mark and John, not to the degree, the extent of what is listed here, because what we're looking at is the story of Jesus walking on water, but also the calling of Peter out onto the water. And I think that we've touched on over the last few weeks, what does it look like for a middle-class Australian to be passionately in love with Jesus? And we kind of extend that to what does it look like for a church, community, a group of people that are passionately in love with Jesus? What does that look like? And, you know, this ties into that, I believe, because individually, somebody who's passionately in love with Jesus will take steps of faith. But as a church community, it should be a hallmark of us as a church, that we together corporately, in significant ways, taking steps of faith and allowing our faith to take us where we've never been before. So that should be a hallmark of a church in middle class Australia that is passionately in love with Jesus. So that's sort of like in keeping with where we're at. So verse 22 of chapter 14 of Matthew, reading from the NIV, it says this: immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Father, thank you for your word. We just thank you. It's alive, it's active, it's living. And this morning we just ask that we would allow you, Holy Spirit, to come use this word to transform and mold us into the image and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. More, we pray. Amen. So you've got to just quick recap. Jesus has received the news. His cousin John the Baptist has been beheaded, and he was close to him. So you could imagine he's grief-stricken. He tries to get away. The crowds see him flock around him to the point where this massive crowd of, you know, 5,000 men plus women and children, 18,000, and Jesus has compassion upon them. He has authority over the natural elements. We've just heard that in this story, but also over the elements that he was giving, the loaves and the fish, and that's multiplied to feed the thousands of people with stuff left over. And then at the end of that, people are in awe of Jesus. He's still kind of wrestling with the pain and the loss, the horrific death of John the Baptist being beheaded. He's trying to process that. He's still serving and ministering out of that place of pain, which is a phenomenal thought. But then he kind of like finally gets away, and the crowd are saying, "We want to make you king. We want to, you know, make you our leader and our ruler." And Jesus goes, "That's not what I'm here for. That's not what, the time is not right." And so he kind of sneaks away. He tells the disciples to get in a boat to start to take off. And he makes his way up the mountain to go to prayer. Now, prayer is something that we hold highly in the life of our church, and that should be individually as well as corporately. But Jesus here is role modeling to us yet again the importance of prayer in the midst of grief, in the midst of success. Not just because of crisis, but success. He still goes to spend time with the Father and seek the Father's heart and mind. I mean, it's, you know, and the disciples take off. They go out on the boat and they're in on the ocean, which we've just heard that a storm has brewed up. It's almost like we get this picture of what it's like at the moment where Christ has kind of been crucified, as we heard so well from Mark this morning. And 3 days later, he rose again. And then 40 days, he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. And Jesus has ascended to that place of all authority. And he's looking down upon this fractured, broken world that's in a storm and being buffeted and thrown by all sorts of different things. But as we can see in this story, and as is the truth, he never leaves us, he never forsakes us. Yeah. So Jesus has gone up the mountain, and when time comes in the middle of the night, the fourth watch being 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., that particular watch, we're told that Jesus actually begins to make his way out to the boat where the guys are. Now, some people say halfway out on the lake is about 3.5 miles, something like that, that Jesus is walking out to his disciples. Now, let's try and get an idea of this, because we're not talking about, you know, a really comfortable kind of cruise liner ship that's got like all the lights and the life rafts and the, you know, life jackets and all that kind of stuff going on. We've got like a small boat that was sailing, using it for sailing, but because the wind's picked up, they can't sail anymore, so the guys have got to get and start to row. We're talking about there's no LED lights, there's no emergency beacons or anything like that. These guys are in the middle of a lake that's been hit by massive winds. The waves have kind of built up, and they're being buffeted, they're being thrown around, and they're in the dark. They're in the dark. It's like, you know, they've got no lights. I don't know whether they had any kind of kerosene or other kind of lamps, but I would assume that they probably turned those off, because if they got smashed, start a fire, that's just adding to a bad day. But like, these guys are being buffeted incredibly by these waves, and they start to get fearful. And we've got some seasoned fishermen on board, guys that are used to being near and in the ocean, and they know what it's like to be rough. So if they're starting to get a bit anxious and nervous, it must have been pretty intense. The wind, you can just imagine waves crashing and the spray that's spraying over the boat, and, you know, they're being thrown around this boat, and fear begins to come in. I have this saying, the darkness is the devil's domain. Some people would say that there was even a spiritual dynamic to the storm and the ferocity that was there, because if they can take out the 12 disciples, if they can take out Jesus' followers, if the devil can take them out, then he's actually kind of like got a significant victory on his hands. Can believe what you like, but the fact of the matter is, in the middle of the night, these guys are in a storm, and how the darkness can magnify so much of the pain and the situations that we're going in. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you just can't wait for the sun to come up? I mean, I've been in situations where slept in different places and whatnot, and you just hear either fighting going on or there's just something intense going on, and all you want is the sun to come up so you can see what the heck is going on. But so much crime and so much pain is inflicted and occurred under the banner and under darkness. But it's just amazing what can actually happen and change when the light comes into a situation. And I mean, being a surfer as well, I don't know about you, but if you watch certain movies and you just understand a little bit about the dynamic of what's going on. I mean, there's an old movie called The Perfect Storm. Or there's this newer one based on a true story. Eric Bana's in it. These guys go out to do this rescue through this ridiculous storm in America in this little lifeboat. It'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, amazing. But when I watch this stuff and I watch these small boats in the midst of the ocean, I've nearly died several times because I've just been pounded, caught inside, been washed across rocks, or been caught up, leg rope caught up or whatever. I've just got this understanding of the ferocity and the power of the ocean. And so when I read this story, and if there's seasoned fishermen and boatmen that are getting nervous, then there must have been something pretty intense going on in this situation. And they think to themselves, you know what, this storm ain't good. Jesus sent us here. He sent us out here and he stayed on land. I mean, like, how many of us are kind of like often in that position where all hell breaks loose, a storm breaks loose, and we go, I'm here because Jesus sent me. He told me to come and do this. And then for some reason, we think we're so unique on this planet, we're going to be the first ones that God is going to let down. In all of the history of humanity, I'm going to be the first one that he lets down. We start to think like that. I don't know if that's what the disciples were actually thinking, but maybe it crossed their mind that Jesus, we're here, you're not in the boat, and you've sent us out here. And then suddenly something bizarre, weird, fascinating, intriguing, however you want to, starts to happen. Jesus starts walking towards them on the water. Now they're getting thrown around in a boat, and they can start to see this shape and form. I don't know how you think, but I'm trying to think, like, you know, is he kind of like transfigured, so he's glowing so they can see him walking out? Because if it's really dark, how could they actually see Jesus? I don't know what you think, but anyway, I'm just trying to work out, how did they actually see Jesus and work out? I mean, when they initially saw him, they freaked out, obviously, because they thought it was actually a ghost that was actually coming towards them. We're told that they're actually fearful of what they saw. So there's one level of fear naturally. But I don't know about you, but when I've had my spiritual encounters, it's a different kind of fear that you can actually, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever, I've had certain dreams and experiences of the demonic manifesting itself in whether it's a dream or a vision that I've had. And it's a different kind of fear that grips you or grips me compared to actually sort of nearly drowning under the power of some pretty significant waves. It's a different kind of fear. There's something that really hits deep to our core when we actually get hit with a spiritual manifestation like this. Because the reality is we don't battle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, the spiritual world is real. And I love the fact that when Jesus comes out to them, he knows he's freaked them out, and he turns around to them, and he actually just sort of says those incredible words, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. And for some of us in this room this morning, you need to hear that. It's a reminder for you, for where you're at. God's called you to do something. There may be a storm going on, but maybe God's word for you this morning is just simply take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. I mean, have you ever thought about how was it that Jesus was actually walking on water? I mean, was he transfigured so he became lighter than the water so he didn't sink? Or did the water beneath him congeal? Because we know that water can take liquid, solid, or gas state form. I mean, with each step, did it suddenly kind of freeze up or something like that? It just sounds like something out of a Marvel movie. But like Jesus just walking, I don't know, like, or did it get a bit, was it a bit soft and mushy under his feet? But he was, I mean, have you ever thought about that? Like, how did Jesus, what happened to the water, the H2O chemical structure under his feet that he could, being in physical form, how did he walk on water? If you work that out, could you please let me know? If you've got ideas about that, I'd love to actually know about that. But Jesus is walking on water. These guys are freaked out, firstly because of the storm, but secondly because of this supernatural manifestation of Jesus walking on water before them. He says, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. I think that sometimes when we're confronted with spiritual situations, supernatural spiritual situations, it's natural to kind of like go, hang on a minute, what's going on here? And that can happen for the negative as well as it can for the positive. I think we need to be discerning. Like, I think there's been situations where I've been in environments, whether I've been in particular atmosphere or places, and I just know there's something spiritually going on that's not quite right. There's that unsettled, there's an unease, there's something, I think to myself, this is not safe, there's something that's going on here, and we need to be discerning of that. But just likewise, when we create an atmosphere of faith and worship and praise in church, some of us still have that attitude of just going, we're talking about engaging with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to deal with that. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to interact with that. And some of us hold back because of fear or because of doubt, which is the response that we see in a minute. But can I encourage you today, as you're in the presence of God, some great questions that you can ask and allow your spirit to discern, because certain things are only spiritually discerned. And if we've got the Spirit of God in us, there should be a connection. There should be a like meeting like. There should be something that resonates in our spirit, that what's going on corporately is something that is positive and something that I should engage with and be open with. And if you're not sure about it, you should be just praying those simple prayers. God, if this is you, just give me that peace in my heart. If there's peace and there's warmth and it's drawing you to Jesus, the supernatural exists either to distract us and take us further and further away from Jesus, or it should be guiding us to and directing us to and revealing who Jesus Christ is. So when we gather together like this and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and to minister into our lives and to have an encounter, to actually allow the Holy Spirit to do something supernatural in our lives, if you've kind of got that initial response of hands up, can I just ask the question? Do yourself a favor. Because when you have an encounter with God, everything changes. Everything changes. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be at a conference, which we don't normally get to do, but had that opportunity to respond to an altar call. And I was like, Nat and I were just one of the first ones there. Just hurry, God, we just need more of you. And God, you know, I sense you're in this place. God, you're wanting to do something. You're manifesting yourself. I want more of that. I need more of that. Our church needs more of that. So when we worship and we give an opportunity to engage with the Spirit of God, just allow that discernment to take place. Is it something that is lining up with His Word? Is it something that actually is warming to me? Is there peace? Is there comfort? Is there joy? Is there something that God is revealing about His nature and His character in this moment of time that I need to be open to learning more about, embracing about, and allowing God to come in and to change or to transform me in some way? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can freak out when it comes to the supernatural, and for the most part, that's normal. But if we don't embrace what God is wanting to do, we can actually miss out on what He wants to accomplish in our lives. I love the fact that if we allow Him to, He'll speak into our situation, even if we find ourselves in the midst of a storm. And Peter here, being impetuous and often would speak before he thought about things, he was a bit of a bull at a gate, one of Jesus' closest three, Peter, James, and John. He actually shouts out to Jesus once he actually recognizes who it is. He says in verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." What was he thinking? I mean, I know we know that Peter was impetuous, but I wonder if those words went out and he just went, "Uh-oh, I want those words back." "Too late," she cried. And then Jesus' response is, "Come on down. Come on, Peter. Come on down." And then I wonder if he was really thinking, "What did I say? Why did I say that? Too late," she cried. I mean, we've got the wind, we've got the waves. He's a seasoned fisherman himself. If we look specifically at Peter, he's in the boat and he's being buffeted and thrown around. He knows what's going on. He knows the conditions well. He knows what's happening above the water. He knows what's below the water. And he's got a decision to make. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You've got a decision to make. Stay or get out of the boat. Stay or get out of the boat." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Get out of the boat. Get out of it." Now turn to the, and this is what you need to say to the person that just said that to you: "Get out of your boat." Go right back at him. "Get out of your boat." What does Peter do? This is insane. He gets out of the boat. The safe place. The secure place. He starts to get out of his boat, responding to Jesus' invitation. I believe that God is putting out the invitation to people in this room. Not everyone will do it, and that's okay. But He's putting the invitation out to people today to say, "Come out of your boat. Get out of your boat. It's time to start living a supernatural life more than you ever have before. Get out of your boat." I mean, could you imagine? He's in the boat. He's kind of like, he's been thrown around and he kind of like grabs the edge of the boat and he puts his leg over the side. And can you imagine that first foot hits the water? What the hell's going to happen? And he puts his foot down and he's holding on. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm not sinking. How insane is that? looks down. I don't know if like the water's just suddenly frozen or it's just congealed to like this soft jelly mass stuff that's firm enough for him to stand on. He's going, no way. Gets the other leg out and he kind of puts that down. It's like, I'm not sinking, but I'm not letting go. He's got that, he gets out of the boat, then he's got to decide, he's got to let go. He's got to let go of that safety, that security. Some of us need to just let go. Just go, we've been safe, we've been sitting in the boat. That's great. But God doesn't want us to live safe, secure places. He wants us to get out of our boat. And then he goes, you know what? Got to let go. Could you imagine what it felt like when he actually let go of the edge of the boat? I mean, he's been thrown around. Like he's holding on and he's got to do that. And he's just being thrown around everywhere. Waves are going everywhere and he's just sort of stepping and he's got his eyes fixed on Jesus because Jesus is going, come on, mate, you can do it. I've called you, you can do it. Come on, come on. And just imagine, he sort of like goes to take some steps and he's just looking at Jesus and he's freaking out. I'm walking on water. None of the other guys got out of the boat. A lot of people trash talk Peter because he sank. He's the only one that got out of the flipping boat. I love that about this guy. And he's taking a step, and then I could just imagine, you know, he's just there, and he's going, this is insane, I don't know how this is happening. Sees a wave that's about to break over his shoulder, and he kind of looks across, and just the white water comes rushing down towards him. He gets knocked a little bit, and he's sort of like looking, and then the wind is hitting, and the spray off the waves is coming, another wave crashes, and he's kind of being buffeted, and he's going, this is insane, what am I doing out here? This is nuts. Looks back at the guys on the boat, and they're all kind of got like, you know, white as ghosts, just looking at him at what's about to happen. He's taken his eyes off Jesus, and he's being buffeted left, and he's being buffeted right. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like the anxiety and the fear begins to grip him. He's taken his eyes off of Jesus. And just as he's kind of like got that fear building up and he's overwhelmed and he's just overloaded sensory from everything just crashing in on him, feels like everything is closing in on him. And he starts to sink. As a last resort, he just cries out, Jesus, save me. Maybe that's your prayer today. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, I'm not actually waving here, I'm drowning. Jesus, I'm not swimming in this storm, I'm actually sinking. And I've got great news for you today because Jesus immediately, turn to the person next to you and say, immediately. Immediately, do you know what that means? Straight away, in that instant, Jesus responded. He's looking, he's listening, he's waiting for us to cry. If you haven't cried out for some time, maybe today you just need to cry out and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, you know what, I got out of the boat, I started to walk, I'm out here because you told me to, but all hell's broken loose, I'm sinking. Jesus, save me, rest assured today. He's listening. He's waiting for you to cry. And he says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he grabbed him and caught him and stopped him from drowning. Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. I don't think this is condemnatory. I don't think it's just, he's going, oh, my son, Peter, you're doing so well, champion. Man, what? Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You're doing so great. Two things we see just quickly about what will cause us to sink of just like a small faith, not a growing faith. A shrinking faith, not an enlarging faith. God desires us for us to grow in that. And the other one is the doubt. We all face doubt and fear. All of us do, but we get to choose how big we allow that to become in our lives and whether that fear or doubt becomes bigger than the God that we believe in. Once we allow that to happen, that's when we stop, get distracted by things that are happening around us and we start to sink. Any step of faith I dare to take merely reaffirms and proves his faithfulness. Let me say that again. Any step of faith that I ever take or we take as a church, it's not about us. You know what? God calls us, we step out, we're believing for a building. It makes no sense. This is a step of faith. There's just an ocean of unknown out there. There's an ocean of impossibility. There's an ocean of this can't happen. There's an ocean of naturally this shouldn't happen. And God's called us to step out onto that. And us stepping out on that is not for us to look good, but what you will see, if you hang around long enough, is you will be reminded of God's faithfulness when we step out in faith. My faith should merely reaffirm his faithfulness. And I love it that when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Jesus was back in the boat. And they were able to worship him and saying, truly you are the Son of God. Let's wrap this up. Today, for some of us, it's time to get out of our boat. What's your boat? What's your place of safety and security? What's holding you back? What's limiting you, stopping you from taking a step of faith like you've never taken before? Is there sin in your life? And let's just call it for what it is. If there is something that is contrary to God's word, that will limit you and that will restrict you from living in and walking in the fullness of what God's got for you. Disobedience, is there something that you know God has called you to, but you just choose to not do that? Get out of the boat today. Is there a pain? Is there a hurt? Is there a disappointment? Is there a failed marriage? Is there a failed business? Is there a failed study? Is there some kind of failure in your life and you're in that boat of failure and you go, you know what, this is just where I have to stay. No, it's not where you have to stay. Get out of your boat. Is there some kind of brokenness? Is there some kind of unforgiveness? Is there some kind of success? Is there some kind of pride? Is there some kind of arrogance that's your boat and you just need to get out of that and start to walk and experience a supernatural life that God wants you to live? Get out of your boat. Just get out of your boat. You can choose to stay in your boat. You've got a choice. Peter had a choice. He's the only one that had the guts to get out of the boat. Get out of your boat. What's your boat? What's your boat? God's called us as a church to get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Just start to walk on water. Trust me. Trust me in this. You know what? If we start to sink, if we start to go down, he's going to be there. He'll be there in an instant. Pull us out. We want to make sure that he's in our boat once we've got the boat sorted. But what's your boat? Get out of your boat. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I'm just so excited about your plan and purpose for your church, for the way that you desire us to bring glory to your name in this community, this city, and beyond. Father God, for us to truly, truly do that, it's not about us, it's all about you, Jesus. We want to live lives that are testimonies to the greatness and the faithfulness of our God. And to do that, Father, sometimes it means we've got to get out of our boat. I just pray for each of us this morning that we just know we're in the wrong boat. We're just in a boat that is limiting us, not allowing us to live the supernatural life that you've called us to live. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed. One of the beautiful things out of this story is that Jesus was there. He sees, he hears the cries. And this morning, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you just go, you know what, I've tried this, I've tried that, it just seems like nothing brings the satisfaction, the fulfillment, nothing. There's a storm going on in my life. Jesus, save me. Then today, he hears the cry of your heart. He's been waiting for you. His hand is extended towards you, a hand of love, a hand of grace, a hand of forgiveness to pick you up, to set you on the path that you were created to walk. If you have never done that, Jesus Christ came, he lived, he gave his life and he died upon a cross. A shameful, horrendous, horrific death. Scorned and shamed, but on that cross, the Bible tells that Jesus took and paid the price for all of our sin, shortcomings, mistakes. And he paid the price in full. By giving of his only life, once and for all, the price has been paid. Only through Jesus Christ shed blood upon the cross. And he died, but he rose again 3 days later, triumphing over death, over sin, over sickness, over every demonic force, principality and power. Was sent to be in the position of all authority and power. And the Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. And so today, if that's your heart cry, God, please save me. No one's looking around. If that's you today, you want to ask Jesus Christ to come be Lord of your life, for him to forgive you. Just encourage you, just raise your hand right now. I'd love to pray with you after this service. We're about to close this morning. I want to just give you that opportunity. Just raise your hand so I can see. Is there anyone here today who say, Phil, that's me. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Last question before we close. This morning, if you know you're in a boat, it's none of my business what it is, but you're just a challenge this morning. You want to respond to his spirit speaking to your heart this morning. Don't ignore that. Respond to it. So this morning, if you know you're in a boat that just goes, you know what, Phil, it's time to get out of the boat. He's calling me out of the boat. He's calling me into freedom. He's calling me into healing. He's calling me into purpose. He's calling me into my future. He's calling me into forgiveness. He's calling me into grace. He's calling me into love. He's calling me into joy. He's calling me into life abundant. If that's you this morning, just want you to raise your hand where you're sitting, saying, Phil, that's me. That's you today. You know you're in a boat. It's time to get out of the boat. Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray just quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You can put your hands down. Father, this morning, I thank you for those that have raised their hands. I just thank you this morning that they've taken the first step. They've heard you call. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you grant them the courage this coming week to just to begin to step into the new freedom that you've got for them. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.